Don't franchise me or sign me.
Hey, it's Pop.
See what happens.
If you find this recording.
But I ain't loyal. All right, bet.
I feel better at this.
Try me.
Part of the journey is the end.
Try me.
In the end, Mosley decides to go with the Jets. I am told they are expected to sign Za'Darius Smith, the Baltimore Ravens edge rusher, one of the more underrated players in free agency, but someone the Packers have loved.
Thanos did exactly what he said he was going to do. He wiped out 50% of all living creatures.
Linebacker C.J. Mosley bolted for the Jets. Safety Eric Weddle signed with the Rams. Pass rusher Za'Darius Smith went to Green Bay, and future Hall of Famer Terrell Suggs went home to play for the Cardinals.
We lost a part of ourselves.
The Ravens have traded quarterback Joe Flacco.
This is the fight of our lives.
This is going to work, Steve.
I know it is, because I don't know what I'm going to do if it doesn't.
Wide receiver John Brown will be a Buffalo Bill.
Another surprise from yesterday was Terrell Suggs leaving his place that he called home for 16 years to a place where he called home before he went professional, and that's Arizona.
They released safety Eric Weddle.
Said nevermore.
You're listening to the Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, it's been a little while, guys. Have you missed us? We missed you. But man, what about these players leaving town? We're sending out so many goodbyes. This is just crazy. Joining me as always, he's joining me from his Palacio, Arizona estate, this new Cardinals podcaster, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I followed Terrell out in sunny Arizona. I had to, man. He took me right with him. He's like, hey, the deal's not going to work unless Josh comes with me.
Josh, what is going on, dude? This is like the craziest time to be a Ravens fan right now. Like, we talked about changing of the guard when Ray Lewis retired, Joe Flacco became the man. No, this is legit the changing of the guard. Everything's different now. So many players walking out the door. This team, I don't think there's anyone that is a Ravens fan around the world that has a jersey that they could still wear on game day and have a current player on their back. So let's start going over this, man. So a month or so ago, we found out Joe Flacco's going to Denver. Nobody was really shocked. We knew Joe was heading out of town.
That starts it all.
Yeah.
All pandemonium breaks loose. Oh, yeah.
This was going to be the Lamar show from now on. But within the last 24 hours, the Ravens have said goodbye to C.J. Mosley, Za'Darius Smith, Terrell Suggs, John Brown. I mean, it's,
keep going. There's more.
I know. Let's just keep going. But those are some of the guys. Eric Weddle's gone. We have Alex Collins, who's gone. This is a brand new team.
Ray Lewis is gone. I mean, keep going.
This September is going to be the first time that we don't have Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, or Terrell Suggs. You know, that powerful three-man unit there. None of them are donning the purple and black next year. So let's just go over it. So what can you make of all of these veterans, all of these people leaving town? Are the Ravens are we in a rebuild mode right now? Because it feels like we're going younger and we're rebuilding. It seems like everything's changed with this new GM coming in.
Well, I'm going to wave the right flag because originally I was like, you know what? We're not. And I said this because of a tweet I read days ago with basically, I mean, you can't compare the Orioles and the Ravens, obviously two different sports, same town, but everybody was like complaining because obviously baseball is about to start. And like, oh, obviously someone mentioned that, well, I don't recognize any Orioles players anymore, right? They're like, you know, oh, who's this guy? And who's this guy? And we're going to lose another 100 games like they did last year. And I'm like, they're in full rebuild. They're in full rebuild, retool, burn it from the ground and tear it. You know, they basically just basically did. They're building it up from the ashes. And when someone said that about the Ravens, I said, you know what? No, they're not rebuilding because I equate rebuild to a last place team, Brandon. I mean, I guess you can put that designation to any kind of team, but I was like, to me, person, when you say rebuild, that means, okay, we were last place, 3-13, didn't make the playoffs, we're sucky, 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 right? And that's why I think a rebuild, like, okay, get rid of everybody, build it from the ground up. But to me, when I'm like thinking, okay, we had a number one defense last year, we won a division, we had a home playoff game, yeah, we didn't win it, but we have the AFC North champs. To me, it's not a rebuild. It was more like, okay, you're doing the same thing you do every year in free agency. You get rid of old players, old contracts. You clear up cash space. You sign free agents. You get you retool in the draft, and you go on it. So, but now seeing what the changing of the guard really is and seeing what the Ravens are doing in the last few days, maybe I have to really look at it, reassess and change my stance and say, you know what, maybe they are in rebuild mode because – and it's been said, and I think Eric DeCosta has been really vocal about it, they kind of want to build around Lamar and tailor this team around Lamar. So maybe they're reshaping it, maybe not saying rebuild, but maybe reshaping the direction of the team instead of the old stalwart of Ravens defense and running the football. Maybe we're going to start rebuilding it. You know what? And I'm really happy you started that because I feel like with the whole Flacco era, yeah, he did great, won the Super Bowl, best quarterback in Ravens history. He's got the stats are everywhere in Ravens. In the Ravens franchise, but the Ravens didn't do Joe any favors either. So I feel like it was kind of a drop ball in that regard. Yeah, you signed it to make a contract, but it's like, but they didn't do anything to help that cause. They didn't bring in a great running back. They didn't bring in playmaking receivers. They had to basically hand it on Joe's shoulders and say, handle the load, and he couldn't do it. He was mediocre at best, and you've seen it. So especially when he was healthy this year, or healthier than he's been because of the knee injury in the back, 12 touchdowns and 6 interceptions for 9 games, wasn't getting it done. Then he got hurt and the rest is history. So, you know, and I feel like Lamar, they shouldn't, and I don't think they don't want to make that mistake soon, saying, you know what, they're going to have a mass exodus on the defense, and then you know what, we're going to allocate an offense. And I don't know, I want to hear your take but on this before, because I have plenty of notes. I've been digesting this for a few days. I really was chomping at the bit to record. I couldn't wait. I was like, can we talk to Brandon about this mess? It's just going to be awesome. But what do you think? Do you think that they're going to the offensive side of the ball from what you're seeing, or do you think it's just the normal, or do you think it's just a total rebuild overhaul saying, you know what, let's start it from scratch? What do you see going on?
Well, like you said, I agree with you. I find it weird that they're trying to rebuild a team that won the AFC North last year. So there wasn't there was stuff to fix, absolutely, but I don't think it was a blow it up and figure it out later. I was wondering if this was kind of Eric DeCosta going, this is my team now, this is what we're going to do. He definitely wants to get younger. He wants to get faster. That's right. Why he went with Lamar Jackson as the quarterback. Time will tell if that is going to work out. We'll see what happens down the road with Lamar. But having, you know, Gus Edwards there as the major running back, and you know there is a lot of chatter, and by the time this goes out on the internet, it may be a lot different than what we're talking about right now. But Gus was the number one guy going forward, but letting some of these veterans go, it kind of makes sense. I'm very sad to see Joe Flacco go to Denver. I think he's going to do really well there, but I wasn't surprised because when they drafted Lamar Jackson, it was obvious he was going to be the man going forward. I am
Becky Lynch.
What's that?
Becky Lynch.
That's right. Oh, she's like the man. She is the man.
I said that in there.
But having Eric Weddle leave, I wasn't surprised by that. No. Eric Weddle, he did not, he was great for Baltimore, like off the field, and he was great for the team on the sidelines, but his best playing days are over. They were over before he even got to Baltimore, let's be honest.
I heard the phrase, his mind was quicker than his body.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, he said he thinks his best years are in front of him. I don't believe that. I think the best years are behind him. And that's just I just think that. I bet you he doesn't stay with Los Angeles the entire year. Terrell Suggs, that one hurts. Because I really felt like he was going to retire a Raven, and I think that's what the front office thought. Let's be honest, everybody. Terrell Suggs was never, ever going to wear the purple and black this coming year. Just a fact. He was a free agent. They expected him to retire after 16 seasons. They didn't want to offer him big money for a guy who didn't have the greatest season last year, who is beat up body-wise. He's an old man as it comes to football age. They were expecting him to retire a Raven and, you know, see him ride off into the sunset. But then his hometown, his home state came around and said, look, we'll give you a bunch of money if you play one more year and you come work for us. So he was like, yeah, absolutely. I love the desert. I love the state. That's where I'm from. Yeah, I'll play for you guys. Sure. He was never going to be a Raven this year on the field. It'll be interesting to see when he comes back, if he's not injured, or right. If he's still on the Cardinals team when they come visit Baltimore this coming season. But that really sucks. But, you know, Ed Reed went to other places after he was done in Baltimore. He retired a Raven. I think the same thing's going to happen to Terrell Suggs. There's a lot of people that are taking it personally on the social medias. But you know what? Terrell Suggs, he was never going to be a part of this team coming up. He just wasn't.
No.
I would love
to see. It didn't seem like it.
No. I would love to see Eric Weddle come back to the Ravens as a coach. I think he's a fantastic coach. He's a good motivator. But his playing days on the field, his best days are done. So those two stung, but I understood them. Like you said, Weddle's going to the Rams. Suggs is going to Arizona. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with those guys. But obviously, I think the biggest thing, I don't know if it's a rebuild or not, but it's a new GM. He's trying to make his mark.
It's a re-something, remix, yeah. Rebuild. It's hard to figure out. You bring up great points, and you're right. And I heard Charlie Weiss say this on NFL Radio this morning. He was breaking down that Suggs thing, and he said the money had to be night and day quoting him, because he's like, you're not going to tell me that a guy that of his stature, 16 years, you're ready to tail end. Why not just finish out and be a Raven for life and be that rarity, one team for the remainder of your career? It's like, but then I hear, and I don't know, sometimes I don't even know what to believe online anymore, but it's like, but I heard someone tell me, oh, well, the Ravens did offer him $7 million, but he got a 1 year, $7 million deal. But I'm like, the Ravens, they had to lowball him, because if Suggs is getting $7 million, unless it is true, and he got that same money, but he might have said, you know what, it's my decision. I want to go back to where I played college ball. He went to high school about 15 minutes where the stadium is. So, I mean, I get it. And he's earned that right. So if it was his decision to leave, it's fine. You know, it's not like, I mean, really, Ed Reed's going to the Hall of Fame this year. Are we going to remember he played for the Texans and Jets? Probably not. I mean, I don't see anybody talking about it. So it is what it is. And I had a great discussion about this, but Brandon, doesn't it make you appreciate Ogden and Ray even more because of that? It's a rarity in the NFL, especially this day and age with free agency and money and all that, and the longevity of careers. It's really, really tough to finish your career out with one team. And just recall these legends. Joe Montana didn't do it. Jerry Rice didn't do it. Emmitt Smith didn't do it. Hey, and Johnny Unitas didn't even do it. Peyton Manning didn't do it. Brady probably will. There's some rarities there, but it's really tough. So there's big names up there, especially Hall of Famers, who didn't even play for one team in their whole career. And I mean, Randy Moss just went in the Hall of Fame, didn't. T.O. went in the Hall of Fame, didn't. There's even Brian Dawkins of the Eagles didn't do it, but you remember him for their main chunk of their careers. And for teams and players who split, or players who split time with their teams, is really tough, because if you recall, this happened in baseball. Remember, Mike Messina just went in this year. Mm-hmm. He split equal time with the Orioles and Yankees, and he actually went neutral. So sometimes it's really tough, because they're like, well, what team are you going to represent? You know, you build that Hall of Fame career, And but you, like Ray says, and he said it a lot of times, you want his legacy, he wanted to be remembered by one place, one city, his whole career. And that made his legacy. And that's why I kind of, I'm not saying I'm happy that Suggs jettisoned, but because Ray built that legacy and him and Ogden did it, first two draft picks, first Hall of Famers, it's so rare, I don't want it to be the norm.
But
you want special players to do it. But Suggs, I'm very unhappy about that. That's that's the one that's tops of my list, but I understand it.
But he was a free agent, right?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, so
there was the Ravens to maybe match or beat the offer, but I guess really, you're going to offer him $10 million to stay here for 1 year? No. That's absurd.
Exactly. And, I mean, as much as you want to bring up about Ray Lewis starting his career, ending it here, he absolutely 100% did. But he tested the waters. He wanted to be a Cowboy. He wanted to go to Dallas. They didn't give him a good enough offer, and he stayed with Baltimore. You know, he saw what else was out there. You know, if Dallas would have came to him and said, we'll double what Baltimore's playing, he would have went there. But he didn't. You know, they didn't have an offer for him at the time. So he stayed in Baltimore, and he does have a fantastic legacy here. And he's done amazing things for the team. I mean, he's got a statue outside. Like you said, it's rare. Ray could have easily not been one of those guys that did spent his entire career with one team. But
no, absolutely.
Yeah, he's still here, and you know, he decided to stay here and take the deal that he got. So, you know, it is a rarity, honestly, I don't think Terrell Suggs is even going to play the entire season. I don't, especially in Arizona. I feel like he's going to get moved around someplace else and finish his career somewhere else, and that's going to be it for him. One more year,
right?
Go for it. You can make an extra $10 million, and you feel like you're physically up for it. Go for it. You do it. You got to provide for your family. College ain't cheap.
And that too. And you can't fault these guys. You're right. I mean, you know, yeah, they make millions of dollars, but hey, you got to get where you can, because even though they make that kind of money, they are short careers. I mean, yeah, but it's funny. You think about Suggs. Ray Lewis was a 17-year career, but think about it. I'm 32 years old, and Suggs was on this team half my lifetime. Mm-hmm. He was on this team 16 years. That went by so quick, dude. Like, just think about that. I saw him play here half my life, like Ray Lewis, like basically almost, you know, over my head. It's just these players, man, they're legends. They don't come in here 5, 6, 7 years and leave. This is why Suggs is just a legend, and he embodied what the C was about. You know, Dark Sizzle, and, you know, all we hate this, and Sack Bend's most times active players, and always had that rivalry coming out with the Bane mask and the Gladiator helmet. He just had that edge, and dude, he was a bad dude, and he was one of, like I said, other than Ray, he was my second favorite Raven, and you know, forever lived down in Ravens history. But that, again, that's the surprise of it all. Breaking everything down, my assessment now, I'm okay with the Weddle one. Obviously, I knew that. Dude, you're not going to offer him $7.5 million. He had coverage issues, but the main big one, and I really want people to really understand this, because there's a lot of chatter. Oh my God, Mosley was the big ticket item here. Big free agent. You wanted to keep him, you know, Pro Bowler. I remember the rumblings when we actually drafted him. People are like, no, I remember that exact draft. When we drafted CJ Mosley, there was friends of mine who were mad because we didn't get receivers. And then actually it ended up being good, because what'd he do? He actually was the first Ravens rookie to make the Pro Bowl.
That's right.
So, yeah, so he didn't even do that with Ray. Ogden didn't even do it. Ray didn't even do it. So, and then you knew something was special there, and he made the Pro Bowl 4 out of 5 years, I believe. So, you know, and he was going to command that money. But I'm okay with him leaving, and here's why. It does sting. It hurts, because that's a big void. You know, obviously we know what he's known for this past season. He made that game-sealing interception against the Browns to win the AFC North Championship to send us to the playoffs on that fourth down stop. But and he covers side on side. He's a great talent. But what I kept hearing in the media, and it made me really rethink it and really relook at it, I kept hearing, well, he's good but not great. It's not commanding that money. Do you realize that he got $17 million a year, 51 guaranteed? Do you know that – and we're going to break down all the free agency craziness for all the teams here, but just to dive in a little bit here, Nick Foles is gone from the Eagles. We know he obviously won the Super Bowl with Philadelphia, beat the Patriots, got a Philly play. If you don't know, Brandon, he got a $88 million contract, or upwards of $80 million in Jacksonville. he got $50 million guaranteed. So you're telling me that basically C.J. Mosley got $1 million more guaranteed money than a Super Bowl MVP.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. And I'm like, here's the problem I have with it. If you're going to spend that kind of money, spend it for a skilled position player, a tight end, or if you're on Gronk's level, a receiver, a running back, or a quarterback, as we did Joe Flacco before. You do not spend that on the defensive side of the ball unless you have a special once-in-a-lifetime transcendent player like a Ray Lewis or an Ed Reed or any other defensive Hall of Famer, and you know that, hey, they're going to be a lock, like a Suggs or something like that. Like, no, we need to keep them here. Not who knows if Mosley's a Hall of Famer if he keeps up what he's doing, but I don't fault the Ravens for not getting it. And apparently it was reported the Ravens offered him 14.5 and they didn't budge. And the Jets came in with more. Obviously, they had a bigger, you know, payroll and all that. I don't blame him for going to get that money. CJ's earned that money. So, but I don't fault the Ravens for being handcuffed on the defensive side of the ball, because I feel like they, on defense at least, you can get away with it being younger and fresher. Now, because the offense is so limited skill position-wise, other than the line, you have to put the money on that side of the ball. And I feel like with going back to the beginning of our show here, if you want to build it from the ground up with Lamar, you better allocate those kind of serious monies to the offensive side of the ball. And this is why leading up to all this, this whole Le'Veon Bell frenzy that has created the last 2 days, this is why people are just wound up about it, because it's, okay, like we said in the beginning of the show, all right, we got rid of Weddle at $7.5 million. Flacco's coming off the books. That's huge. Oh, okay, you didn't sign Suggs. Okay, his veteran contract's gone. Okay, you're not signing Mosley. He's gone. Za'Darius Smith got, what, $15, $16 million from the Packers a year. He's gone. So it's like, okay, so all those things that are there and you didn't take care of your own in-house free agents, it's like, okay, why are they cutting up all this space? Something big's going to happen. And given the movement of all these players right now in these trades, this screams, you got to get Bell because they compete. And here's Brandon. Again, you know, if they're in the running for this for the last 2 days so long, it means the Ravens have the money. Everybody's like, oh, they don't have the cap room. Well, if they didn't, they wouldn't even be in discussions. This has been two straight days that they've been linked. Bell and the Ravens have been the same sentence, I think, in like 1,000 tweets I've seen online or something. It's been crazy, okay? And the hype has been real. And even as of this afternoon, Ian Rappaport of NFL Network even said it's between the Jets and the Ravens. And dude, I don't even know where to start. I have so much content. I think we would have to like do three shows to break everything I've seen down in the last few days. But that's the way I look at it. It's if you really want to get serious, younger, fresher, and build around Lamar. Because Brandon, right now, let's face it, number 8, Lamar Jackson is the best offensive playmaker overall on the Ravens offense right now. Is that true or false?
That's very true. And
very true.
You got to remember as well, John Brown is with the Bills.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Brown just jettisoned for the Bills, 3 years, $27 million.
And Michael Crabtree has been let go. So
yeah, he hasn't signed, but yeah. So we already got two receivers going, but we re-signed Nick Boyle. We picked up Brandon Carr's option. And then we got Tavon Young. So we solidified the secondary.
That signing is fantastic. Tavon Young.
And they did it at the right time because his price would have went huge up.
Yeah.
Yes. So they did that correct. And side note, as no one probably knows this, Tavon Young shares the same agent as Le'Veon Bell. So keep that in mind for the next few 24 to 48 hours, what you call it will. But it's just, again, the Ravens in order to compete. And that's the way I look at it. Just say if you do make this deal happen, and it's got to be mutual, obviously, but apparently from what I'm reading, Bell wants to come here. So let's say if they do that, then you go from a Lamar Jackson is your best player on offense to a Le'Veon Bell is your best offensive player. And I had a great discussion, and I'm going to break it down to you like this. You remember how many run plays and all that Lamar was involved in? What do you do if you add a dynamic playmaker like Bell, who we know can pass catch, okay? What does that do to an RPO? What does that do to a Lamar? Now, what does that do to a defense? Now, they were already worried about Lamar and the whole film and all that on him. But then you put him and Bell in the same backfield. What do you do there? What do you do there? Because what do you do when Lamar looks like he's going to run it and he can pitch it out to Bell? What do you do if Lamar looks like he's going to go in for a quarterback draw and then steps back and throws a little screen pass, dump off flare to Bell, and he goes and takes it to the house? How many times has Ben Roethlisberger done that to us and him and the Steelers, and he burns us? I can count many plays he's done that for. And you add that dynamic and you want to, and not even talking about like ticket prices, filling in seats, but hey, that would sell some drinks and food at the stadium. That would get some jersey sales, and that would sell some tickets, and that would sell some hype. Right now, you pretty much went from winning division, you laid an egg in the playoff game, and then now you're going to come out here. Dude, again, the lack of offense, I felt, really hurt us in the Chargers playoff game. I mean, hey, we had -1 passing yards. And speaking of that, if everybody's worried about Lamar running it, obviously you have Gus Edwards going in year two. You have uncertainty. Running back is still in need, right? So, but then what do? You put a viable running back behind Lamar. You almost force Lamar to be a passer because it's like, why is he going to run it? You just paid all this cash and all that to Bell. Let him be the workhorse for 2-3 downs. And then you have, you know, Gus as the speller for maybe 1 or 2 downs there. That's the way I look at it. Then you force Lamar to pass it more and to create that cohesiveness on the offense. I feel like if they don't get this deal done or whatever happens and this falls through, they're back to square one, and then you're back to Lamar's running it back there. We're back to the same old, the same old stuff. So I don't know.
Does it worry you at all? Because Le'Veon Bell he's a talent on the field.
Yes.
However, off the field, the guy does annoy me. I mean, the fact that he didn't play last year, the games he was kind of playing with Pittsburgh, does that worry you that he's going to kind of bring a negative energy into the locker room? Because a guy like that who, is going to leave his teammates kind of like out to dry and kind of hold the team hostage until he gets what he wants, takes his ball and goes home, I'm a little worried that he's going to bring that kind of attitude to Baltimore.
It makes sense, and I see where you're coming from with that. I'm away from that because if you look – and I'm going to side on the other side of that saying I don't think it would be a bad thing because here's the thing. Looking at both the dynamics of Bell and Brown, Bell – it's really tough, but the way I look at it, Bell did any normal thing, and I don't think we've seen it here at the Ravens. I would have to look back and see what Ravens have been tempted to hold out or kind of, I don't think we've had that here where a player's really held out or I wanted a new deal, but you can't fault him. And what's funny, and you see it now, is he wanted more money. I think the Steelers offered him $14 million a year, and he felt he was worth more. So he goes, you know what? No, I want a new deal. Him and his employer, the Steelers, couldn't reach an impasse, so Bell's like, you know what? I'm going to hold out. But what I see now, and everybody's seeing it now because of this free agent period, he thought he was going to get $14, $15, $16 million on the market, and apparently he hasn't been signed yet because I bet you his number's really lower now because he has sat out and he hurt himself. And it was the same way with Dez Bryant. But speaking of that and even mentioning Dez, I don't think it's a problem here because – thought Dez Bryant was a way more dynamic personality than Bell is, and the Ravens reportedly did offer Dez Bryant a 3-year contract, and Dez turned that down because he wanted a 1-year prove-it deal. And we looked better for it because he actually hurt his ruptured Achilles in practice, nonetheless, with the Saints. So, but that's why I'm saying if the Ravens were willing to take a chance on a Dez Bryant for a 3-year deal, Bell's in slam dunk. Brown's a different story. Brown was on TV saying, I don't need football. Football needs me and all that. He's way more of the arrogant, dynamic diva. He was whining because Juju was getting more of the looks. I mean, come on. Bell wanted more money. Bell wasn't whining because of playing time. Bell wanted money. You can call it greed or whatnot, but Bell thought he was worth more. And no different than, I haven't done it personally. I don't know if you've done it, but I know people who've done it, and I'm not going to ever call them out by name, but I know people who's told me because I transitioned to salary, and they're like, you can negotiate. You have negotiating power. I've actually done it. I've negotiated, said, no, I have a number in mind. I like to be here. But I'm not going to hold out for my employer and go, you know what? I'm not going to work unless I had millions of dollars in the bank and I didn't care. It doesn't matter. But see, these players can because they have that right. Bell's like, you know what? I probably got $20 million stashed away. I don't need it. I can sit out. But what happens is with him being an athlete, he's not playing, so teams and they don't want to take a chance on that. They're like, okay, you can sit. Maybe that could be a Ravens issue, but the Ravens have been heavy involved in this, so not ruling anything out. So, but it's a lot to talk about. It's a big dynamic, but I don't want to put fantasies out there. But look at it this way: if you want to say Eric DaCosta wants to make a name for himself, this would be it. You want to separate yourself from the pack and say, Ozzie wouldn't. Because here's the thing, man. How many as of late, how many free agent signings has the Ravens done? And it's been an offensive side of the ball, and it's always been these players that are past their primes. A Steve McNair, an Anquan Boldin, a Derek Mason, a Steve Smith. Yeah, these guys are great signings, but these guys are on their last 2 or 3 years. They weren't in their primes. Imagine getting a Steve Smith in his prime, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's never happened. So here's an opportunity. We have the cap space. We didn't sign anybody. We let our all defensive go. You want to be known for the offensive side of the ball. You have Lamar. Get dynamic. Go out and grab that player. Be dynamic and set yourself up from the pack and say, you know what? We're going to set a new standard of Baltimore. We're not going to be defense no more. We're going to get younger and cheaper on defense, and we're going to go offensive side of the ball heavy, and then maybe they'll bring in or draft a few wide receivers here because we need wide receiver help. But then that's another thing. Their best chance is to sign a star like Bell at running back because they're not going to be getting a wide receiver to come here because, as we know, Lamar's our quarterback. It ain't Joe. So it ain't going to be throwing the ball. Running it is our end game. And what better way to get it than Bell? That's the way I look at it. This screams Ravens all over it. He can play the Steelers twice a year and exact that revenge because, remember, Dez Bryant sort of wanted that last year where he wanted to play in NFC East, and NFC East teams were like, no, we're not having it. He didn't get signed there. But same thing. And I'm going to read a few excerpts because I saved a lot of content from online. Online's been crazy here, but you remember, because I know you're in cahoots with a lot of the local media. I know you're good friends with Glenn Clark, right?
Yeah.
You remember his old pal, Drew Forrester from NST?
Sure.
He follows me. We follow each other on Twitter. I went to the road trips with him. So he said this today, as of this evening. Sources, and this is his tweet. You can read it. He follows me. I screenshot it. I think I retweeted it. If not, I can go back. And his Twitter address is it's a hooded four iron. So sources tell me that Le'Veon Bell's people have made it clear to the Ravens late this afternoon that he wants to play in Baltimore. That was this evening. He tweeted 10 minutes after that, when it's all done, and this is his tweet, not mine. When it's all done, I think what will get Bell to Baltimore is his dislike for the Steelers and the Ravens being able to stick it to them with Bell. They both want to beat Pittsburgh, and no team has that in their DNA like the Ravens do. And I'm like, and then I look at it this way, again, from a player perspective. Sam Darnold and Lamar Jackson came from the same draft. Lamar was a way more successful quarterback, as we know, went to playoffs, went 6-1, was one play from going undefeated in his rookie year, starting-wise, obviously half the year. You go to Lamar Jackson or Sam Darnold. You go first premier franchise to the Jets. The Jets haven't been relevant for some years now. So, yeah, they got the money. You know, they just signed, you know, Mosley. But really, if I was a player, it's like, what's more attractive? Then you get to play the Steelers. And again, with his whole disdain and pettiness, that kind of fits his MO. It's like, you know what? He was already holding out because he wanted more money. What better way to add to his personality, persona, to go, you know what? I'm going to stick it to the Steelers. So that's just the stick of it. This is my whole overall umbrella and what I see unfolding. But the fact that remains is that it hasn't been breaking news that he hasn't signed and the Jets are right there. But what was surprising today, okay, I woke up and the Colts, the Ravens, it was the Colts, the Ravens, the Texans, the Jets, and two other teams, Redskins and Packers, I think, were all on the running. Literally, as of noon today, all of a sudden, I get an update on Twitter from very viable sources on, like, think Pro Football Talk or something, said Colts are out of the running. So, Brandon, the Colts have $101 million to spend this year in free agency. $101 million, okay? The Jets had $98, and you're telling me that the Colts are out? So, you know, it's something was there. So then, okay, that was a big player against this. So I'm like, okay. And for me personally, I thought he would sign with the Colts. You have Andrew Luck. They made the playoffs. They got a new dynamic head coach in Frank Wright. It just screamed, oh, that's probably where he's going to end up. Marshall Faulk went there, and he's a Hall of Famer. So I kind of just said, you know what? That's a perfect fit. I'd be fine with that. He's out of our division. Good riddance. But it's just – but now seeing it and seeing everything unfold, it's like – and then now with – we're going to cover everything else now, but with what's going on in the arms race with all these teams reloading, the Ravens got to make a move. And I feel like now with all fans losing hope – and this isn't the fan perspective, but – I feel like I really feel like you think people are ready to give up now with all and whether they understand the moves or not, free agency and moving these players. But if they don't go out, whether Bell shuns us or we don't get it done with Bell, and if something doesn't happen to that nature, I feel like the phrase Bell or bust is going to happen. If any Bell, all hell's going to break loose. It's just going to be – everybody's going to give up. You're not going to be seeing back the games. But if you really want to be serious about, you know, whether it's a rebuild or you want to contend or show seriousness on that side of the ball, you got to make this happen on both sides and do whatever it takes. I mean, but what's scary, though, is I took a look at the Ravens salary cap right now as it stands. Do you know who the highest paid player is right now on payroll?
Who's that?
Mr. Mediocre Jimmy Smith, $15 million on the payroll right now.
I can't believe he's still on the payroll. I figured they were going to cut him.
He's the worst of the secondary, and he's making the most money right now with everybody gone.
With Tavon Young getting a new contract, I was like, all right, that's got to be
Brandon Carr. Thinking Derek Carr, the Raiders.
That Jimmy Smith would be out the door. I figured right. Tavon Young's there. And, yeah, right.
That's what I'm thinking. The Ravens could do a sign and trade. Sign Bell, get rid of Jimmy in a trade and maybe get an offensive player back, because they got Young, they got Humphrey, they got Carr, and they have young other corners up and coming. You know, the safeties, they got Deshaun Elliott still. They got depth, and they can always draft a few players. They still got draft picks in April. This ain't done. You know, there's free agencies out there. There's still safeties out there. We don't know, but it's just like, really, Ravens, if you don't get this done. And I look at it this way. I mean, they're going to join the Bengals in the cellar. If they don't get anything done, this is going to be probably a 3-4-win season at best. If they get it done, they might be content. They might be contenders. They might not be. You really have to see them fold. But, hey, it makes it look a whole lot better on paper if they do it, and it's more dynamic on offense. You want to be exciting on offense, this is the way to move it. But, and then I heard now Greg Roman, I don't think has ties to Bell, but apparently he runs the style of offense that Bell would cater to. So I heard a lot of ties. And all day I was getting excited because this screams Bell to Baltimore. I'm like, dude, it couldn't be set up any more perfect right now, especially not – now, he'll look at it this way, Brandon. The money that they could use to sign Mosley and he turned us down, okay, well, apparently here's the problem I see, or it's an easy solution. If Bell wanted $14 million from the Steelers, he didn't turn it down nearly 2 years ago, sat out a year, and then now he's not getting signed quickly, okay, take that $14.5 million we're going to offer Mosley, give it to Bell. Or maybe beef it to 15.5 or 15.2. I don't know what they need to do. But it's like, okay, if you have $14.5 million allocated towards a defensive player and he didn't sign here, that's the same $14 million that Bell turned down from the Steelers originally. Give it to him. You have the money. So that's the way I look at it. So it's not an issue of money. Something on the back end, maybe they're trying to work out structure term. I don't know. But my gut says Bell to Baltimore all the way. And until it's dead, I'm not going to set sail on that. But I don't know if you've been following everything closely, Brandon. Did you hear about these cryptic tweets? I don't even know if I'm going to say his right. Akbar Khabib Milija from, you know, he's on the Ninja, the Total Ninja Warrior, right? American Ninja Warrior.
Right.
You know, former player. He used to play for the Packers. He played for the Raiders.
Right, right. There was a fake account or something today that released that Bell had come to Baltimore and people were freaking out. And then they realized they got duped.
Yep, I blocked it. I didn't retweet it, but I almost did when I saw it. And I said, no, because I follow him on Twitter, and I actually have him followed. So, but he put out a cryptic tweet, and everybody was like jumping all over it. And it was like, let me try to find it here, because I have so much content from online. It's just ridiculous right now. So let me see. Bear with me here, Brandon. I know it's shut everything up, but everything's just
– As you're looking for that, let me ask you. So Le'Veon Bell, he sat out last year. We haven't seen him on the field. Is this going to be the same Le'Veon Bell that we remember from Pittsburgh? Is he going to be in football shape? Is he going to have the same speed? Yeah, he wasn't on the field, but he is another year older. Is this going to be the same guy that we've seen in the past?
You want to say yeah, but it's – I really have to – I'm going to answer that with uncertainty. I really don't know, because – I haven't seen film on him. I don't know if he's been in the gym. You would hope so. If he's looking for the money is and commanding that, you would hopefully he's been in the gym and been in football shape. I mean, I wouldn't want to think that a running back of his stature is just sitting there eating potato chips on the couch and saying, someone sign me. He better be hitting at the gym. So knowing that, I'm going to say I'm hoping he is. I don't know. You know, but you hope that a player like that, you better pass physical. And I'm sure teams are inquiring or probably asking about his in shape status. Hey, if we give you the rock in 2 weeks, could you run, you know, basically. But I actually got mini camps and training camp, and he's got all year to really cut down or whatever weight it is. But I wouldn't be too worried. I would be worried because it's Bell. I mean, yeah, he didn't sit out for 3 or 4 years and coming off retirement, but, you know, he might lose some speed, but he's better than what we got. So, right. Yeah, healthy Bell, out of shape Bell, he's better than what's on the paper. But here's the tweet from Akbar Jabiamilja. He said, and again, this is the same guy, okay, and I looked back through his Twitter feed. He actually predicted in cryptic tweets, he broke the news without really telling anybody that AB would go to the Raiders, okay? So he said this, and Twitter blew up. I'm surprised you didn't see this yet. I know I posted on the call Facebook, so you might have seen it, but he said, a bird told me that Le'Veon Bell will be a Steeler, quote, nevermore, unquote. Edgar Allan Poe can confirm, hashtag Enigma. Everybody blew up and was like, what does that mean? And some people who really didn't know what it meant was like, oh, and then people were correcting people on Twitter, like, come on, you got to read up in your literature. That's Edgar Allan Poe in Baltimore. And he literally said, there's a message within my message. Like, read it again. And then, and this was hours before, or hour, 2 hours after, he literally said, I gave you guys NFL news on Antonio Brown days before it broke it. Do you want to know where Le'Veon Bell will go next? And then he tweeted that whole Nevermore Enigma thing. So it made you think, and it was like, and it got everybody thinking. So I was like, maybe he's on to something. So as of today, and this was, of course, like, you know, a couple of days ago. So as of today, he was back at it again. So let me find this one now because it's buried here. Here it is. So because Le'Veon Bell tweeted last night, I'm so torn right now with decisions. And everybody's like, okay, what does that mean? Apparently, he knew what teams he wanted to go to. So Akbar today tweeted at him, Le'Veon Bell, am I allowed to tell people yet? Happy for you, bro. Make us proud. So apparently, he knew. He already been maybe in talks with Bell. He knew what team Bell picked, or he knew something. There was a deal worked, or one of the teams reached out to him mutually. He knew. And nothing was there. And say, and Le'Veon Bell was really cryptic today. He tweeted out, all right, I'll share. I'll spill the beans. And he never did. He tweeted this out like this afternoon, and we're all like hanging by a thread, and nothing yet. So, but things have gotten a little crazier. It's crazy to follow here. But it's just right now, it's just, you know, he really said he tweeted at 2:45 p.m. today. Le'Veon Bell said, yeah, I'll spill the beans, replying to Akbar. And he never really did. But a lot of people are reading between the lines. Everybody's like, oh, I'm pins and needles, come on. But it's been, dude, I don't know how many miles my thumb scrolled today on Twitter. I don't know how many times I hit the refresh button. I think I broke my phone screen. It's been ridiculous today. I told somebody, I said, this is the most fun I've had in the last 2 days, and this is the most craziest free agent period that I've seen us involved in. I've never seen us get so excited and so heated and overwhelmed about a potential player of his stature coming here. And I think that's what's exciting. And the fact that he could show mutual interest here, it really might play into something. But Brandon, again, going off of that, as of this afternoon, Ian Rappaport at Rap Sheet, you know, he's NFL Network personality. He said this afternoon, while the Jets made their best and final offer to Le'Veon Bell, the Ravens are still in it as well, I'm told. And Bell has indicated to some friends around the league how much he likes Baltimore. It seems like it's Ravens versus Jets for Bell at the end. So it's just when you keep seeing all this stuff, you're like, oh my God. Yeah, I mean, trust me, man. It's been crazy. I'm at work grunting and sighing, and everybody's like, what's going on over there? And I'm like, football, free agency, leave me alone. Like, it's it's just like, man, it's just been nuts today. And I'm expecting news to break, but man, bad news, good news, brace for it, because it's going to be crazy around here. If he ends up choosing Baltimore and Baltimore chooses him, it's a mutual thing and it gets done. And if it doesn't happen, oh boy, do we have a show to cover on what's going on? Where's that money going and why are they doing what they're doing? And it might be a bad year. And but speaking of that, why they got signed Bell, make a big case for it. And I know we covered it pre-air on the show, but the Browns aren't your grandpappy's Browns, man. these Browns, what they can win, like they went 1-15 2 years ago, 0-16. Well, no, 3 years ago they went 1-15. Then they got worse, and they were 0-16. And then last year, Baker Mayfield arrives and they blow up and they win, what, 7 games? And they tie. They went 7-8-1. I don't know what their record was, but they were within 1 or 2 games of taking the division, basically. And if they had a kicker, they probably would have. It's crazy as it sounds. And you probably followed it, even if you listen to the show, but it's crazy. But I got numb. Brandon, right before we decided to record this show tonight, I'm sitting online. I got my dog fed. I'm waiting, waiting for everything, getting my iPad fired up, looking at my notes. And I see right across the screen, Mike Garofalo, NFL Network tweets, breaking, the Browns just trade for Giants Odell Beckham Jr. The deal is done. I am not joking. And I'm like, and I froze. I got numb. Like the Ravens did. I'm like, no. And I go, no, no. I pull the iPad up. I turn on NFL Network. Breaking freaking news. The Cleveland Browns, of all teams, have traded for the infamous Odell Beckham Jr. from the Giants. They gave up a number one, a number three, and their safety, Jabril Peppers. Brandon, oh my God. The Browns just basically went from division favorites to probably Super Bowl favorites.
Yeah, they just won the AFC North.
I mean, and they were already division favorites because you look at the Steelers. They lost Brown and Bell. Yeah, who knows what they might be, the shell of themselves. The Bengals are bangling because I heard a radio jockey say about the Bengals, they were already terrible and they're resigning their terrible players. So they're going to bangle. And then the Ravens, barring what they do with Bell here or with the money they got, who knows what they might do. The Browns, listen to this on offense. They got Baker Mayfield. They got Nick Chubb as running back. They signed Kareem Hunt, who obviously we know is in legal trouble, could be suspended, could not be, but they got Kareem Hunt. They already got Jarvis Landry. Now they got Beckham on offense. Yeah, it's going to be a nightmare. And they got some defensive stars too. Oh my gosh. And it's still on FNORA. I can't believe it. I was like, no. And I heard this chatter throughout the rumblings, like maybe they might trade him, maybe not. I'm like, no, I don't know. And it happened. And right before the show, I think my phone was going to blow up because my phone and iPad were like ringing nonstop, ding, ding, ding. And it was just notification after notification. And yeah, this has been a crazy situation. And you know what's funny? Free agency really hasn't technically started yet.
Yeah. We're all doing all this, and some of these signings might not go through. Things.
Well, Anthony Barr happened. Did you hear about that?
What's that?
He apparently had to make a contract with the Jets along with Mosley. Anthony Barr's a linebacker who started for Minnesota Vikings. He got paid. You know what he did today? Pulled the old rope-de-dope. You know what? I'm not going to sign there. I want to go back to the Vikings because you know why? Nothing's official till it's pen on paper because it's with that tampering window. And I looked into that today. What it is meaning that for 2 days, because free agency starts tomorrow, Wednesday, 4 p.m., recording this on Tuesday evening for all those who end up probably seeing it or hearing it, I should say, watching TV as I'm recording, so bear with me there. But, you know, it's funny because nothing – it's even the Flacco trade. The Flacco trade ain't even official until tomorrow, but it's there. But what happens is with this tampering is you can enter negotiations, you can have free discussions with players, teams, agents, you can come to a verbal agreement saying I'm going to drop the paperwork, and it could fall through. It's kind of like this is what's going on because you're seeing all these mega contracts. Like, wait a second. Why are all these players signing everywhere? Why is everyone leaving? Well, they can agree in principle, and then if it sticks, it sticks. But just the madness is crazy just to cover this. Okay, so the Ravens recapping, Brandon. You still with me? Because this is nuts.
Right.
So Darius Smith gone to the Packers, make a deal. And I'm covering the Ravens starting. So Mosley gone to the Jets, make a deal. Weddle out west to the Rams. You have John Brown to the Bills, 3 years, $27 million. Suggs to the Cardinals, 1 year, $7 million. So that's it. You're right. Crabtree's still a free agent. He's out there. That's the Ravens who are gone. Okay. We already covered earlier in the show, Nick Foles off of Philly. They didn't exercise the option. Let the former Super Bowl MVP let him in Carson Wentz's absence. He's down in Jacksonville. Okay. Case Keenum in the trade to the Redskins, where rumored that Flacco almost went. We already knew Flacco's the Denver. Frank Gore is still running in the league at like near 40 years old. Probably he's four. I don't know, dude. He's ancient. He signed a deal with the Bills. So he's up there in Buffalo as well with John Brown. And this has been crazy. Man, there's other deals. Quan Alexander signed with and that's the deal I wanted to talk about. Quan Alexander was the deal that really hurt the Ravens because he had way lesser stats and way lesser impressive resume than C.J. Mosley. He got a four-year, $54 million deal. So you know what? That hurt the Ravens because as soon as those kind of deals start throwing around, you go, oh, you know what? the bigger stars are going to get higher and their teams can't afford them, which happened to us. So it's eBay with football. You know, you put something out there and the bidding goes up and the highest bidder is going to win it and win out. And with these players, they've earned it. They're going to jettison for the money. You can make them selfish, call them greedy. They're not. It's their livelihood. It's their job. CJ earned it. Good for him. I wish him well. But do not allocate on the defensive side of football. Let the Jets make that mistake. They got the money to do it. And, hey, they might need it. They might have a bad defense. I don't know. But
they got Kelechi Osemele as well, right?
Yeah, I think so. He was another signing. So, and he used to be formerly on the Raiders. And then with the Raiders, and let me touch on that, man. The Steelers probably could not wait to get rid of him. They took a crazy off. Do you realize that the Raiders? Do you realize? I'm thinking that the Raiders might offer one because the Raiders actually have 3 first round draft picks this year. They have a 4th or 5th overall, and they have 2 in the 20s, like 2 picks behind us, and then 1 at the tail end. So the Raiders have 3 of the top 32 picks in the April draft, and they still keep all 3 of them. They got Brown. They took a 3 and a 5 to get Antonio Brown. The Steelers couldn't wait to get rid of him. They took less than what they wanted.
And speaking of draft picks, real quick, I just want to add this in. Because of Lamar Jackson, the Ravens right now sit with 0 second-round picks. So that first-round pick that the Ravens are going to use, it's going to have to be a blockbuster one.
Oh, it's going to have to. And if it's not, oh, my God, I don't even know. I really don't know. But it's got to be a blockbuster when I don't fault you on that.
But the comp picks the Ravens should get for next year, with losing all these players that they have this year, the Ravens are going to be – I think the maximum you can get is 4 comp picks. The Ravens are going to get
this. It is. Yeah, they get some of them, and I think they might lose – I think one's a wash because I think if they do end up signing Le'Veon, I think they – word on the street is they lose one of them, or I don't know. I have to really look at that. But you're right. Actually, right here – 22 minutes ago on Twitter, the Ravens collect 4 comp picks per Jeff Cerebic. So, and that was per Jameson Hensley too as well. So on Twitter. So yeah, the Ravens right now have 4 total. I believe that's the max, like quoting you, you're right. But I'm not sure. I'm looking at the other news, but yeah, it looks like 4 comp picks on top of that. So, I mean, and you know how the Ravens do. I mean, last year they did it. They went from like 7 to 12 draft picks total because they kept trading and trading. Everybody's like, oh, they kept trading back. Oh, they keep trading up. I mean, who knows what, you know, that might happen. But right, and you just don't know. They could trade Jimmy Smith for picks and cash. Who knows? I don't know what they'll do. But, dude, it's so crazy right now. I literally told somebody, I said, I actually have a headache from all this because it's just like – it's like every minute, it's like you got to keep your phone on you because, I mean, it was funny. This morning, I was almost running late because it was like, I was like having a good morning. I was running early. I was on time. And then literally 6:15 this morning, Ian Rapport reported, oh, Mosley signed with the Jets. And I'm like, it's 6. So apparently he signed overnight. And I was like, and the tweet I saw, it was like 6:14 a.m. I'm like, man, they didn't waste no time. Oh, it's already popping off today. So it was like, and then I turned off my network. I was at home for like almost a half hour watching NFL Network because I was all glued to the TV. I'm like, It just goes, man. You just don't know, and I don't know, man. But the Browns have loaded up big time, and right now the Ravens are chasing Cleveland, man. Instead of Cleveland chasing the rest of us, so wow, it's going to be. We might have to try. I would love to know what's going on in Cleveland. I mean, you know, and you might say, Josh, stop singing the praises. But it's just – it's dynamic because they've been bad for so long. And how many times have we said the Browns are going to brown? Like, they always botch a trade or botch a draft pick. Whoever's running the show right now, oh, look out, dude. This division is going to be flipped. You're going to see a changing of the guard, and we got to get better. Whether we want to take a year or two off, I don't know. You want to compete every year, right? But, you know, I don't know. But, you know – and another thing I wanted to ask you about is, speaking of free agency, Latavius Murray signed a 4-year deal with the Saints. That means Mark Ingram is going to be released. Mark Ingram and the Ravens have been heavily linked as well. Obviously, still Bell is in the running, but with a Mark Ingram. Now, Mark Ingram's always been one of my favorites to watch and one of my favorites, but would you see him fit in here? Would you want a Mark Ingram services? What do you think about that kind of acquisition if the Ravens were to go that route?
I like Mark Ingram. I think that the Ravens could definitely use him. I think that would work. Like you said, maybe if Le'Veon Bell doesn't work out, he's the backup plan. But I don't know. I feel like this is such a one-sided viewing of what the Ravens have been doing. We've seen all these players walk out the door, but the Ravens have been very tight-lipped about what they're doing on the other side. So
they've always been like that.
Yeah. So
no one knows what's going on because they don't really give a pulse on that.
Right. So, I mean, I feel as if there's got to be something brewing, whether it be Ingram or Le'Veon Bell, but something's got to be brewing for the Ravens to it's uncharacteristic for them to be this quiet and not have that not lead to anything.
Well, and that's everybody said it's unusual, but you're right. Keep in mind, they do play things close to the chest. They never reveal their hands. They've always been like that. And it's kind of like the whole no news is good news because they're so quiet and they got the cash there. All of a sudden, everybody's going to all this Odell Beckham madness and all that and Browns and all the Ravens players leaving. And then all of a sudden, you're going to see your phone blow up, Bell to Baltimore for X amount of years, and X amount of money, and all we're going to be rejoicing and all are going to be forgiven. So it's kind of like that, like they're going to strike when they're going to strike, and they're going to strike quick, and they're going to strike fast, and they're going to strike hard with it and go, here you go, here's the deal. You all wanted it. Here it is. But, you know, I don't know. But when you see the Browns doing what they're doing and being aggressive, it's like, dude, you know, you talk about everybody's getting on Ozzy with being passive and not being here. If I was, I mean, I know we're all GMs when this stuff happens. We're all our couch GMs and, you know, armchair GMs. We want to run the team. And this is what I would do. And, well, come on, Eric, pull the trigger, pull the trigger. We need to make it. But it's easier said than done. But then if you look at it, you got to be aggressive because the Browns are being ultra aggressive. The Steelers are loading up. The Raiders did what they did. They let go of Khalil Mack. It was addition by subtraction, basically, right? You know, everybody was crapping on the Raiders, right? They let go of Khalil Mack. Oh my God, best linebacker. Oh my God, you did that. Can't believe you did that. Oh, you let Amari Cooper go. What are you doing? And then all of a sudden, they got three first round draft picks and Antonio Brown. What do you know? So, you know, things can work out if you look at the long-term picture. Right now, I really don't know what the Ravens are going to do until this whole – if Bell signs here or not. Until Bell signs, regardless, we won't really know. But it's like this new whole news is good news, but no news is almost killing us because it's like, dude, it's – because everybody keeps asking the same question. What are the Ravens doing? And they ask me, I'm like, I don't know. I got as much information as you guys, and it's just – but then you see all the Ravens players being cryptic and you see the NFL network personalities be cryptic and you're like, all right, what's this whole Aaron Poe enigma thing? Come on, that screams Ravens. And then it's like, well, what if he goes to Eagles or Jets or the Pack? Then you're like, okay, well, you're wrong. So, dude, it's fun and it's exhausting at the same time. But you hear the enthusiasm. I mean, telling you, man, it's the offseason. The Ravens ain't playing a football game and I'm wound up. I mean – I'm telling you, I love the offseason. I just love it. I love the unknown. Like, are we going to sign this guy? Who are we going to sign next? Who are we going to draft? How are we going to make the money work? It's the other part of the season that I love. I love going to the games, love talking about the games, breaking it down, seeing what the season's like and unfolding. Are we going to be challenging for a playoff spot or division title? Or are we going to tank it? But at the same time, this is where the teams are forged and won and lost. And I'm excited too because it's Eric's time. And hey, make the splash. Bell to be more, and I told somebody at work, if it does happen for us, I have For Whom the Bell Tolls ready to rock on the speakers, man. Ooh, that's going to be the theme song, but I don't know if the bell's going to toll, but hey, let's make it happen in Baltimore. It'd be fantastic to see, but hey, it's exciting. I haven't had an opportunity to talk about a dynamic playmaker this available, and the Ravens being linked this far in. It's pretty impressive. It's pretty fun. Sometimes it's nerve-wracking, it's anxiousness, it's, oh my God, get it done already. But hey, I'm enjoying it, the ride, and if they sign them, awesome. We're going to be welcoming with open arms. Let's beat Pittsburgh twice, exact revenge, and let's go challenge it, or at least start building the challenge for the North title on a playoff spot. Then if it doesn't happen, we can sit here and scratch our heads and go, okay, where do we go from here? But hey, whatever happens, I don't know about you all, but I'm still going to love my team no matter what because, like Tony Lombardi said from Russell Street Report tweet today, and I've always felt this, you root for the number on – or you root for the name on the front of the jersey, not the back, and you won't have these kind of issues because that's what happens. You attach the players, and then you're like, oh, well, so-and-so gone. Oh, so-and-so chased money. And I can't stress enough. This is why I've learned and matured in my fandom. Apart from the you learn to know who the lifers are. Like Ray, as his career went on, again, he tested for agency, the star, Dallas, whatnot. Hey, here, and I can even pull the clip because I know exactly what the podcast, I have it saved. It's on a podcast. You can even read, I know what episode, I know what the minute is he starts talking about it. You can sit there and say, yeah, I know he tested for agency, it's a fact, but he swears on his podcast right from the man's mouth himself and his voice. Even though he tested it, he wasn't going nowhere because he said, give me one city. He said, because he said one city took a chance on him and gave him his stardom. He goes, and I thought I owed that back to him. That's why he did what he did. Yeah, he tested it. Whether it was legit, whether he did get more money or less money, I don't care. Because obviously it's all said and done. He's got a statue out front. He was here 17 years, Raven for life, second one to do it. You can say what you want, but it doesn't matter because it didn't happen. So, but win, lose, or draw, I'm going to be rooting for this team. I still got my season tickets. I'm still going to games. I don't care if I'm the only one in the stadium at this point if they don't do anything. I mean, hey, you know, you just got to go through dark times to get there. And like my buddy Ryan said, man, on Twitter, we're spoiled. You know, we've been to playoff runs. We've gotten all these Hall of Famers, championships, and we as Ravens fans, we just don't take the losing well, man. It's like we lose a couple games, and it's like the Browns endured one win in 2 years, and then look where they're at now. I mean, come on, guys. Like, you know, we just made the playoffs last year, and we're acting like we're the Browns like a year ago. Like, geez, chill for guys. And this is why I get wound up. I don't like all that. Chill. Just everybody can get their passion, get wound up, but just relax. Like, you know, if we sign Bill or we don't, relax. You know, I don't run the team. None of us do. And we can't control what they do. We can break down what they do. We can get upset, frustrated, because it's our passion. It's our livelihood. It's our home team. We root them hard. We want to see them succeed, right? But you just you want to make sense of it all. And right now, this is for the first time, I'm kind of like, what are they doing? But, hey, they always say football is chess, not checkers, and hopefully they're playing chess and making the moves in the background that we don't see, and hopefully it'll come to fruition and we can see it on paper and really talk about it. But, man, this has been a wild ride. It's been exhausting, and it's not even ramped up yet. But, man, I'm sure we'll have some breaking news, and probably we're not done because free agency starts. We're probably going to add players. Bell's still out there, so we have a chance to. We might be covering some breaking news tomorrow. Who knows? So never know. We're going to be doing a show, but there could be a possibility we'll be back very soon to really break it all down here for any new acquisitions that come out in the next few days.
All right. So for this episode, Josh, have we covered everything?
Have we covered it? Hardly. But hey, we tried our best, didn't we? It's what we always do. But hey, quoth the Raven, nevermore. And it's not an enigma.
All right, well, if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCast. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, make sure you go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out or somebody new gets signed or somebody new leaves town, you will be the first to know because we will be sharing that information with you. Make sure you you give us a like and a review on Apple Podcasts. Write us a review. Give us 5 stars if you like our show. And don't forget to tell people, use social media. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. We get you ready for free agency. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
You're not leaving free agency, are you?
I'm not. I don't plan to.
I don't want to have a new co-host tomorrow or something like that. I'd be like, hey, who's this guy?
I don't know, but if somebody offers me $2 million, I'll see you later.
Hey, all right, we'll see. I'll be seeing you on the other side then. We'll be rivals. We got rival shows.
See
how many downloads each get. Just mess with you. But, yeah, man, it's big. But one thing I wanted to leave us with before I break it down, I forgot to ask you, as I know ended it with it, but there's been so much content. We started about talking Mark Ingram, and I think you said it would be a great fit. My point of view is I've always liked him, but here's the problem I have real quick is you let 30-something defensive players go, but then you're going to sign a 30-something offensive player?
Yeah, not
I good. Thought our mantra wanted to get younger and faster and fresher, and you're going to sign a 30-year-old. Like, and I don't care if it's $1 million, $5 million. Yeah, if it's a really low contract, it might not hurt us, but if you're going to offer this guy, you know, mid-level, $4, $5, $6 million, really, you know, yeah, he has some light tread on him because he shared timeshare with Alvin Kamara, but granted, Mark Ingram missed 6 games last year. He was suspended. So to me, it's like, really? You're going to get – I mean, again, I think Mark Ingram fits the Raven style well, but – and I've been hearing a lot of it lately, and it made me think, and I kind of agree with everybody who's been saying this. We actually have a Mark Ingram on the team. His name is Gus Edwards because they're the same dynamic. It's – they're a little bowling ball, basically. It's they're physical, low center gravity runners. You know, Mark Ingram isn't, you know – a flash and pan. I feel like with that kind of offense, if you have, I feel like basically, yeah, Lamar can run. He's got that running ability. But if I feel like Lamar or Le'Veon Bell is Lamar in running back form, except obviously, you know, he can catch the ball. So it's like, I don't know. It's just the way I look at it. And it would be disappointing. I mean, I wouldn't be frowning if the Ravens picked up Ingram instead of Bell, but it's like, you know, because it's an upgrade from what we have. But then it would be like, really, you didn't even sign your own tendered free agents and try to match their offers or beat that. You missed out on Bell, and then you're going to go and sign an Ingram. It's kind of like, it's just kind of like, it's a big letdown. It's like, you did all that for that? It's like, really? So that's the way I look at it. Breaking all down, free agency frenzy, as the NFL calls it. It's been a frenzy, man. I mean, where do we start? I mean, there's a lot of, you know, cryptic messages and what ifs and wishes and, oh my God, please sign here and please don't do this and what are they doing and oh my God. And it's been every emotion. I've been having a lot of great discussions in my group chats. The Ravens chatter has been picking up crazy. And hey, the new league year starts there. I mean, hey, it's here. So see what happens if we actually have a mega signing, if we get the player we want in Bell, if it's Bell to Baltimore. Can't wait. And if it's not, oh boy. And it's going to be some big turbulence ahead, but we're going to see how it all comes down, and it's going to go down here. This week, it's going to pop off. It's only Tuesday, and it's been a crazy week. It feels like this week has been 8 days already, and you know, just but hey, you know, we're going to cover it every separate way here on the call. For all those who follow the Facebook page, Brandon, please be my advocate for that, because I've been actually more on Twitter and trying to stay on there because of the breaking news and where the players are chatting, and that's where the breaking news happens. It's been hard for me to try to keep up and try to flip the Facebook. So if you can keep that in mind, keep the pages refreshing if you get breaking news too, because you know, I might be a little behind on the call. I don't like to be, but it's just because Twitter's moving at the speed of light. Like, seems like every time I refresh the page, there's a new breaking news, and it happens quick. So Facebook isn't really built for that. So just bear with us as if it seems like we're not getting the news out there on the call. Facebook, I'm sorry, I'll take the blame on that, but Twitter's moving the speed of light, and it's just quick. So, but if any route, I'll get you the information, and we'll try to get the content out there as quick as we can. We want to be quick, but again, man, this thing moves quick, and I literally was sitting here last night. It was like I was even eating before I can even finish a plate of dinner. 3 players signed in a matter of 10 minutes, and I'm like, and it moves quick. It's like, oh. Because remember last night, I was talking about Devin Funchess. Oh, he could sign with the Ravens. All right, he was gone. So it moves quick, guys. So bear with us. We're going to get everything we can out there. We're going to cover it. Bad news, good news, no news. It's going to be Ravens news nonetheless. And, hey, we're going to spring a lot of NFL news because it's just crazy. Enjoy the moves. Enjoy free agency. Ravens, I hope you're flying high this free agency. We're going to root for you nonetheless. But, hey, keep in mind, always Ravens, still always fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.